Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Monuments and statues make up an integral part of our city's urban fabric. Not just pieces of art, they become seats, set pieces, waypoints, and playgrounds for their surrounding citizens. The Column of Justice in Florence is one such statue, but this 11-metre-high granite column, standing tall in Piazza Santa Trinita, has a particular positioning and peculiar history that tells us even more about the relationship between art and the city. Michael Cole is a specialist in Italian Renaissance and Baroque art at Columbia University, and he shared with us the monument's tall tale.
We're seeing a monument in a small square in Florence. It consists of an ancient granite column that was brought to Florence from the Baths of Caracalla in Rome, with a late 16th century porphyry statue on the top that personifies justice. It represents a small milestone in the history of local technology. Transporting the column from Rome to Florence took a full year, and then it had to be erected. The stone that's used for the statue is one of the hardest stones that was known to Europeans at the time. Until shortly before the date when the statue was made, no one had known how to carve the stone, and then Florentines discovered a new way to temper steel, which gave them the appropriate tools. But even so, it took the sculptor Francesca Del Tada 11 years to shape the sculpture. But I think the most interesting thing about the monument is not its technical difficulty, but its place in the political and military history of the city. What you'll read in modern guidebooks is that the column marks the place where Cosimo de' Medici, the Duke of Florence, heard the news that his forces had defeated the Siennese in battle. And when you think about it, this is a very strange story. As you can see from maps, and as you'll notice if you walk around the neighborhood today, the column is placed at a point of maximum visibility so that it comes clearly into your path, whatever route you use to approach the square. Doesn't it seem a bit too convenient that the event in question of Cosimo hearing the news of his victory happened on just this spot? But also, why would the Duke even care so much about the place where he heard news? It's not the site of the event itself, after all. The column doesn't even represent the event. I think you'd have no idea it had anything to do with Siena or even with the battle if I hadn't told you this story. And for that matter, no other Renaissance monument I know marks the place where somebody heard news. So we have to ask where this somewhat fishy story comes from. And one place we can look is the journal of a man named Agostino Lapini, who lived nearby. And Lapini kept a diary, and the diary gives more detail about how it was that the Duke Cosimo heard the news. Lapini writes that couriers delivered it to him on Thursday, August 2nd, 1554, at 10:30 p.m. at night. And what the couriers told Cosimo was this, that in defeating the Siennese, the Duke had achieved, and here are Lapini's words, the great rout of the whole camp of Piero Strozzi. Now, why is this detail important? Well, it means it wasn't just any battle. The Strozzi had long been rivals of the Medici family, going back to the previous century. And when, in the 1530s, Florence had ceased to be a republic and the Medici were installed as dukes, a number of members of the Strozzi family, who were then in exile, had determined to participate in a rebellion. In Piero's case, this meant bringing the soldiers he commanded to the aid of Siena when Cosimo had set siege to the city. So what the Duke learned about on that night in 1554 was the defeat of these rebels. And when we look around the column with this in mind, the location suddenly makes a lot more sense. The monumental palace that you see in the foreground is the family palace of the Strozzi, and the neighborhood is the one in which the friends and allies of the Strozzi had long lived. You see the sign on the palace in the foreground that reads Canto degli Strozzi, the corner of the Strozzi. So what Cosimo has done, in other words, is to place a triumphal monument in the heart of the main Strozzi corner. One of the things that art historians do is to try to explain why things have the form they do, and often that means using objects, using images, using statues and buildings to make sense of texts rather than the other way around. And in this case, what we have is a monument that's interesting, I think, because it tells us something about the relationship between the city and its neighborhoods. To transform Florence from a republic to an autocracy, the Duke wanted to install markers of his authority at key sites. He's trying to consolidate the city through imagery. And you'll see rulers in other parts of Italy do this in the same years, consolidating the city through a series of monuments in public places. In Rome, it's fountains and then obelisks. In Florence, it's figural statues. Statues are remarkable because, in the first place, they are the city. Seeing them, sharing space with them, is inseparable from our experience of the city. But at the same time, they're also about the city. They can make statements about the relationship between people and spaces, as the Justice column does in Florence.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Michael Cole for today's episode. And remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.